the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Welcome, everyone, to today's Lifetime Planning episode. Today, we're going to discuss taxes, inflation, and financial repression, three very important topics that you're going to need to understand when it comes to investing in the decade ahead. And Jim, one of our favorite quotes from Genzo Parson, we had the pleasure of interviewing him on Financial Sense. He was a listener and also wrote a fantastic book on inflation called Dying of Money. And you quoted him in an article that you wrote early in 2020, where he says, everyone loves an early inflation. The effects at the beginning of inflation are all good. There is steepened money expansion, rising government spending, increased government budget deficits, booming stock markets, and general prosperity, all in the midst of temporarily stable prices. Everyone benefits and no one pays. That is the early part of the cycle. Then, in the later inflation, which is where we are moving into now, on the other hand, the effects are all bad. The government may readily increase the money inflation in order to stave off the latter effects, but there's faltering prosperity, tightness of money, falling stock markets, rising taxes, still larger government deficits, and still soaring money expansion, now accompanied by soaring prices and the ineffectiveness of all traditional remedies. Everyone pays and no one benefits. That is the full cycle of every inflation. So with that said, Jim, can you tell us what is it that investors today need to keep in mind about investing for the decade ahead?
Three things are going to impact your future planning. One is going to be taxes. The bad news is taxes are going to be going up. Number two, you're going to be dealing with inflation, and inflation is not going away despite what the media is telling you. And thirdly is financial repression. The debt has become so large that even though the Fed may be raising interest rates, how far they get is unknown, but rates will be kept artificially low because they're going to need to inflate the debt away. So these are the three things that you're going to be dealing with. As you plan for your future, you're going to have to figure out inflation. That house you want to buy is going to get more expensive. The car you're buying is getting more expensive. Your food bills are going up. Your insurance bills, your gasoline bills, your utility bills, tuition bills, all those things are rising at the fastest pace in nearly four decades. So this is what you're going to have to incorporate when you think about planning.
The big thing when it comes to this overarching concept and theme that we're discussing with taxes, inflation, and financial repression is the assumptions that are being made for the decade ahead as you're planning. And of course, if you are a money manager, if you're a financial planner, and you're using the same variables that have used in the decade prior, that's not going to work when you're looking forward. And as we've discussed with many people on our show, and I think as many of our listeners know firsthand, the official CPI number is an average, and it does not cover nearly the breadth of experience that everyone has based on their food costs, their living expenses. And so what they are experiencing can be meaningfully different than the official CPI number. So explain to us, you know, the importance of using the right assumptions, the right variables in the financial planning process.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're thinking about how much money do I want to have when I retire? And I can think of a doctor client that I had. He's since passed on, but he was a client that I took on in the early 80s. He was a doctor, and he wanted to have $140,000 when he retired. In other words, when he retired, he wanted to have the same level of income, which is what he was making back in, I think it was like 1983, he became a client. And back then, Chris, I could take, he wanted to have close to $1 million. I told him, I said, you know, at $140,000, at $1 million, we could get you $140,000. Because back in 1983, I could have gone into things like government Ginnie Mae's that were paying 14%. Long story short, when he did actually get to retirement, we had $3 million. But it took $3 million to deliver the same level of income that he was making in 1983. So that's why when you're factoring in how much you're going to need for retirement, especially if retirement is two or three decades away, you're going to have to figure accurate levels of inflation in order to save for the type of retirement that you hope to enjoy when you retire. So inflation is going to be an important variable. Now, one of the things that I want to point out, we've had John Williams from Shadow Stats. The government changed the way they calculate inflation in the 1990s, and they started using things like substitution in something called hedonics. Now, let me explain what hedonics is and why it distorts inflation. So let's say a brand new Ford 150, the price has gone up 15%. What the government will do, they'll come in, well, gee, the new Ford 150 has an LED larger screen, so we need to back out some of the inflation cost for that. It has a better, more efficient engine. So what they do, they start subtracting from the actual increase. So by the time they're done, well, instead of that 15% increase, it's only a 2 or 3% increase because we've adjusted the inflation for the quality enhancements. Another thing they'll do is something called substitution. So if the price of beef is going up, well, maybe people eat chicken. We'll substitute chicken. Or if chicken's going up, it'll be fish. If that's up, well, what the heck? You'll eat Alpo or dog food. I don't know. But I mean, so you're seeing this at the individual level. Whether you're going at the store, you're getting your utility bills, you pull into a gas station to get gasoline, all these things are going up at probably twice the rate of the reported inflation. And the debt is growing at 2 to 3 times the rate of the economy. And the only way you get out of that, there's only one way you solve debt problems historically. One is austerity. We know that's not very popular. They're not going to cut programs. Number two, debt default. Well, you don't need to do that when you have your debt denominated in your own currency. Third is something called wealth transfer, which is taxations, and that's coming. And four is we print money. So, like I mentioned, the debt is growing at 3 to 4 times GDP. The only way for governments to handle this is to inflate their way out. If you look at where we're going in this decade, it's going to be a decade of inflation, and eventually it's going to lead to a massive devaluation of the dollar. And we're going to talk about on the weekend show is labor inflation. That was one of the big issues in the 70s when we had 14% inflation at the peak. I can remember, Chris, when I was working in the 70s, President Carter asked employers to limit salary increases to only 7% at a time inflation was running at 14%. So we're going to be dealing with labor inflation, and that hasn't been factored in to these inflation models.
I don't know if you've seen the recent data, but I mean, in many cases, employers are able to fulfill some of those job shortages with increased use of automation. I mean, if you look at a Tesla factory, an Amazon factory, then there's robots all over the place. So that could perhaps put a bit of a lid on that wage inflationary spiral, since in the 70s, we were a manufacturing economy largely. And so the manufacturing workforce was so important. They had more leverage in order to fight for higher wages. So we'll have to see how those things play out.
Something that we might be dealing with in terms of structural employment. In other words, right now you're seeing it because of the government policies. A lot of businesses, especially restaurants, services, are having a hard time recruiting. My brother and I were talking this morning. He was telling me about a new restaurant that opened up in Scottsdale. He walked in there. It wasn't open. I mean, the door was open. They had stuff ready. They didn't have the workers to open up the restaurant. So, and you're going to see this. I don't care if it's McDonald's, Wendy's. You're going to see more automation. So inflation is something, Chris, you know, I don't know if it'll be at the levels of what we saw in the 70s, but certainly it's going to be something we're going to be dealing with because the debt is too high right now. And it's only going to get bigger. And the only way they're going to solve it and make it manageable is to inflate it away.
Right. And our view, which we've been reiterating now, at least since 2020, is that we believe we would see a big pickup in inflation, as we have seen. This will be persistent. It'll line up on the persistent side. But we shouldn't expect to see the very high rates of growth year over year terms persist forever. So we will see a moderation, most likely, but we are going to remain very likely at a higher than average level long term. And so that is when, again, going back to this idea of when you're doing a financial plan, you need to be factoring in a secular change for an increase in inflation and also taxes. So let's talk about the taxes component, because this fits right into modern monetary theory.
Sure, because one of the points of monetary theory, if you do run into inflation, not a problem, the Fed raises interest rates and you just tax the hell out of people. And one of the ways you get rid of debt, as we talked about, austerity, that's not going to work. Debt default, that's not going to happen. Wealth transfer, which is taxation and printing money. And that's what the government's going to do. So if we're going to be looking at this over the next decade, they are going to raise taxes. So higher taxes are something you're going to deal with. The other thing that we've seen probably over three or four decades, it began with Ronald Reagan, continued with Bill Clinton, continued with Obama, and will continue with Biden, and actually continued with Trump, is the removal of itemized deductions. I remember in the 80s, you had tax shelters. Chris, I didn't pay taxes when I started out my career in financial planning. I bought a tax shelter at the end of the year to zero out my taxes. That went away with the tax reform of 86. You could no longer deduct sales taxes. I can remember keeping our receipts from the grocery store or any kind of store. We'd add up our sales tax. We were able to deduct that. Fast forward, they limited the amount of interest deductions you could get. They just got reduced again. Under Trump, it was reduced from $1 million plus a $100,000 second mortgage. It got dropped down to $750,000. And the other thing they've done, and this happened with Clinton, you used to be, if you had a house and you bought a house and you sold it, and let's say you bought a house for $100,000 and it's now worth $200,000, you sell it. As long as you bought a house of equal value, let's say another house for $200,000 or more, you could roll over your tax base into a new house. Bill Clinton changed that. I think it was 94. And he said, you know what? We're going to give you $500,000 of capital gains free if you're married, $250,000 if you're single. The problem, Chris, they haven't changed that number since 1994. And look where housing prices are today compared to where they were in 1994. So anything over that, you're going to pay 25% or close to 25% taxes on that. So tax rates are going to be going up. And you take a look at what you're paying in state taxes, sales taxes, property taxes. Under Trump, property taxes were limited and capped at $10,000. Mortgage deductions were capped. You couldn't deduct state taxes. And so one of the big migrations, we're going to do another story on this. Look where people are moving. They just did a report. They're moving from states like California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Michigan. Where are they moving? They're moving to Nevada. They're moving to Florida. They're moving to Texas. They're moving to not only just states with lower taxes, but less crowded. And so taxes is going to be a very big issue. And I would say right now, in the planning that we're doing, almost a third of our California clients are choosing to leave California as they begin retirement. In other words, they're moving to states where there's either low taxes, the cost of living is lower, or there's no taxes at all. So financial inflation, you're going to be dealing with that, and higher taxation.
Yeah, Jim, when you were talking about people moving out of California, I think, you know, we're all aware of that. And as Elon Musk has said, California is just becoming widely known for too much regulation, too much taxation, and people are getting fed up and they're leaving. It's just because it's becoming too cost prohibitive to live here. So lots of people are moving to these other areas. So again, as you said, financial repression is the third part of this whole process that we're talking about when you need to think about financial planning for the decade ahead. Can you explain to us just a definition, if any of our listeners haven't heard that term before? What is financial repression exactly, and how do you see that playing out in the years ahead?
Financial repression was something that was first implemented by the Federal Reserve coming out of World War II. Debt to GDP was like 300%, massive amount of debt. So we began to inflate our way out of that. But part of that inflation is also keeping interest rates below the level of inflation. Who benefits from that? Number one beneficiary is the government. So the government is keeping interest rates far below the inflation rate. Chris, I have never seen in my entire career a rate on the 10-year treasury or the 30-year treasury bond that is multiple percentages below the official inflation rate. I mean, if we take a look at the 00 decade leading up to the financial crisis, the Fed raised the Fed funds rate to 5%. We saw 5.5-6% interest rates. Same thing coming out of the tech bubble. When the Fed raised interest rates, we had, I can remember in the year 2000, I could get 6-7% in treasuries. So you're not getting anything near what the official inflation rate is. If you're looking at municipal bonds, you're looking at corporate bonds, you're looking at maybe half of what the inflation rate is. So when you're saving for retirement, part of, you know, the equation, saving for retirement, figure an amount that you want to have for retirement. Like my doctor wanted to have $1 million when he retired, when we began his plan in 1983, because that's what would get him the level of income. Well, how are you going to get, let's say you want to have $1 million when you retire. You're going to have to take a look at what's the rate of return. Try getting $1 million when you're only getting 2% or 0.5% on bonds when inflation is running 7%. It's not going to work. So you're going to have to employ a different investment strategy this next decade. It's going to be very similar to what we went through in the 70s in terms of the assets that outperform that are going to get you to your retirement goals.
One of the things that we obviously try to do here at Financial Sense Wealth Management is to apply what we believe is going to be the changing landscape moving forward into our financial planning process by using the correct variables, by not using things that operated in the past 10 years, but looking forward to what we believe is going to be true for the years ahead. And as we've discussed today, it's very clear when you look at the level of debt, our deficits, the amount of spending that is being put into the economy, that a lot of these forces are lining up for higher inflation. But this is also going to be right alongside financial repression, as you noted, which is keeping interest rates suppressed. You can't allow interest rates to go too high, otherwise the cost of that debt is going to become prohibitive. So when you factor all these things in, there are some big changes that need to be made in terms of not just wealth strategies, but financial plans, all of which we are implementing here at our company with clients and with new clients as they come on board. Can you give us an overview of some of the key things that we are doing, given what we discussed today?
Let's begin with taxes. So there's three ways you're going to minimize taxes: tax-free investments or tax-free type of accounts, tax deferral, which could be anything from annuities to pension plans, and tax sheltered, which could be real estate or MLPs. Municipals, we still use municipals for some clients. We have a special niche that we operate in there. A way to eliminate some taxes is move to tax-free states. I can't tell you the number of clients that I have that are moving to either Nevada, Arizona. Arizona has a top tax rate of 4.5, and there's another tax level at 2.5. So lower tax rates or tax-free states. We're doing a number of Roth conversions from IRAs. So anything kept in a Roth after 5 years becomes tax-free when it comes out. We're doing life insurance retirement plans where we build up a life insurance policy that's designed to accumulate tax-free income. Most of your Fortune 500 execs get this as a perk. And then also C-Corps that are taxed at 21% versus the top tax rate right now of over 41% for S-Corps when you factor in the 37% tax rate and the Obama tax of 3.8%. Things like tax-deferred annuities or dividend-paying stocks, which are taxed at anywhere from 0 to 23.8%, depending on your level of income. Things that are tax-sheltered, things like MLPs, real estate, oil and gas investments. There are certain things that you can write off there. The strange thing, Chris, this is, I haven't seen this since the 60s, where you had dividend yields are actually higher on stocks than you can in bonds. I mean, I don't care if you're looking at IBM, if you're looking at Exxon, Chevron, some of the drug stocks where the yields are considerably higher. The other thing that we're doing is we're looking at convertible bonds, convertible into common stock based at a certain level, preferred stocks, equities, and then, of course, commodities. This is going to be a big decade, in my personal opinion, for commodities, because you take a look at this green energy we're moving in. We're going to need lithium. We're going to need copper. We're going to need nickel. I mean, how many times have you heard in the news Elon Musk going to mining companies, hey, I'll sign a long-term contract because I need these critical materials to build my cars. I mean, take a look at the chip shortage that has affected the auto industry. Other things that we're doing for tax-free is Roths, not only contributing to a Roth, but Roth conversions. We're doing LERPs, which are life insurance retirement plans. We're doing munis. We're setting up special kind of pensions for entrepreneurs where they can salt away a lot of money in C-Corps. But these are the kind of things you're going to have to do and incorporate in your planning, because not only do you have to plan for the future, which is going to involve higher levels of inflation, which means you're going to have a higher level of investment in order to be able to retire. But, you know, there's multiple strategies out there. And one of our favorites that we've been doing here in California is, like I said, one third of our clients are moving out of the state and they're moving into low tax or tax-free states, or as I call free states versus slave states. You and I, Chris, live in the highest tax state in the country, followed by places like New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and other states that are high tax, and we're losing our tax base, not to mention the number of major companies. And even now, to the detriment of California, we're starting to lose our tech companies. Oracle moved to Texas. Tesla moved to Texas. Hewlett-Packard moved. So we're losing our big tech companies, not to mention our industrial companies are moving out of the state. And it's one thing that people can control. You may not be able to control what the Fed does on federal tax rates, which are going to be going up, but you can't control what you pay at the state level. So you're going to deal with inflation in the future, which is going to be higher. You're going to be dealing with higher tax rates, and you're going to be dealing with repressed rates of return in the investment market. So you're going to have to change your investment strategy. You're going to have to deploy tax planning techniques to minimize what you pay in taxes, and you're going to have to plan for higher inflation. All of this involves having a plan, because without it, what you don't want to do is wake up 10, 20 years from now and saying how quickly time went by and say, oh my God, I'm getting 10, 15 years away from retirement and you don't have anything in place to get you there.
So for all you listening out there, I know there's a lot of information that we covered today when it comes to the changes that we see coming for taxes, inflation, and financial repression. These are themes that we've been touching on for quite some time, and we are going to continue to build on these themes in the years ahead. But if you are not already taking these things into account with your own portfolio, or if you haven't done a financial plan where you look at increasing taxes, increasing inflation, and also the implementation of financial repression, which will have meaningful impacts on your wealth and your portfolio in the years ahead, you can always give us a call at 888-486-3939. And if any of you do not know, Financial Sense Wealth Management has been honored to be ranked among the top 300 investment advisory firms in the U.S. This was by the Financial Times, and also among the top 50 emerging RIAs by RIA Channel. So we have a talented team of wealth advisors that are standing by that can help you and assist you in any questions when it comes to the topics or the information that we discussed today. Again, that number is 888-486-3939, or you can also go to our website, financialsense.com, and hit where it says contact us.
In the meantime, we'd like to thank you for listening. Have yourself a great week ahead.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any
financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.